Barbarian Tribes of Rome. The Visigothic Rulers, Part 1. Alaric I to Alaric II. Now, Alaric I, although merely a reek, which is a local lord, Alaric I had proven himself to be a capable ruler well before the Kingdom of Toulouse was established. Possibly his greatest achievement was the sack of Rome in 410. It was the first time that a foreign invader had captured the city in 800 years. However, the sack itself wasn't as devastating as many other sieges that came before or after it. The Gothic armies merely burned a few buildings and plundered them for riches. The Roman citizens themselves were spared any inhumane act. In addition, the Basilica of St. Peter and Paul were nominated as sacred places not to be disturbed, other than pillaging. Sadly, Alaric would meet his end the very same year he sacked Rome. While he was in Calabria in southern Italy, Alaric wanted to invade Africa. However, most of his ships were battered during a storm when he sailed south with his troops. The reek himself died in Constanza, more than likely from a fever. Alaric's name became legendary, so much so that few rulers were either named after him or had a name that was somewhat a variation of his. The next leader was Athelf. Athelf was the brother-in-law of Alaric and was unanimously elected as reek immediately after his death. Athelf's reign was mired in controversy, political intrigue, and complicated relations of Roman emperors and pretenders to the throne. However, he was the first Visigothic ruler to secure territorial autonomy and political prestige to the Gothic tribes. Athelf and the contemporary emperor of Rome named Honorius had a complicated relationship. At first, Athelf would frequently support pretenders to Honorius's throne, such as Priscus Attalus, a man whom Alaric had made emperor in Rome to rival Honorius's rule in Ravenna. In addition, the Visigothic ruler had an important hostage, the emperor's half-sister, Galla Placidia, who might have secured him gold and territorial autonomy from Ravenna. During his trip to Gaul, where he would join forces with the local usurper Jovius, Athelf came across Honorius's Gothic commander, Sarus. This was a significant encounter, since Sarus and Alaric had a long-standing rivalry, which Athelf deepened by murdering Sarus. Once again, Honorius had an additional reason to go to war against the Visigothic leader. But then things took an unexpected turn. Jovinus declared his own brother, Sebastianus, as co-emperor, an action which Athelf did not approve of nor knew about. Enraged, Athelf allied himself with the emperor in Ravenna and crushed the two usurpers, first capturing Sebastianus in battle, and later capturing Jovius in the siege of Valentia in 413. The very next year, Athelf took Galla Palencia's hand in marriage. This move cemented the relationship between the Western Roman Empire and Athelf's Visigothic people. Placidia gave birth to their son, Theodosius, but the child died in infancy a mere year later. During 415, the final year of his life, Athelf had already been ruling over Narbonne and Toulouse, which he took in 413. His relationship with the Roman Empire soured thanks to Honorius's general, Constantius, a man who would later be crowned Emperor Constantius III. Athelf and Galla Placidia were traveling west, and while in Barcelona, the Visigothic reek decided to take one of Sarus's men into his service. The same man killed him in his bath, which prompted the ascension of Sarus's brother, Sigric, to the position of king. But Sigric would rule for a grand total of 7 days, promptly getting killed and being replaced by a non-Balthi ruler, Wallia. During his reign, Galla Placidia returned to Ravenna in 417 and married Constantius III, the same general who had a major falling out with the Visigoths, Theodoric I. Wallia ruled for only 3 years, after which he was succeeded by Theodoric I. Although he was an illegitimate son of Alaric, he was nonetheless elected as monarch of the Visigothic people. It's interesting to note that an illegitimate son would go on to become one of the most glorious rulers of his time. The famous Battle of the Catalunian Plains, which of course is Chalon, where his efforts helped crush Attila the Hun, marked the end of Hunnic supremacy over the Balkans. It was merely one of his many accomplishments. During his reign, he expanded his kingdom to the Mediterranean coast, taking Narbonne. He also made allies with both the Vandals and the Suevi by means of marriage. Two of his daughters married Hunneric of the Vandals and Richard of the Suevi. However, Hunneric would later have different ambitions which excluded the Goths, so he had his wife mutilated and sent to Theodoric. From that point forward, Theodoric saw the Vandals as enemies. Theodoric's valor against Attila was and still is historic. However, it goes beyond dying in battle. Namely, in order to fight the Huns, Theodoric and his sons made an alliance with the famed Roman general Flavius Aetius. Aetius and Theodoric had been bitter enemies during their entirety of his reign, but the ruler of Toulouse recognized the danger Attila posed to contemporary Europe, so he set aside his differences with the Roman commander and marched against the Huns. This determination and prudence in the face of battle cemented Theodoric as one of the most beloved historic figures of late antiquity. Theodoric was succeeded by his son Thorsamund, who in turn was succeeded by Theodoric II, and who himself was succeeded by possibly the greatest Visigothic monarch and first proper king of the Western Goths, Euric. These ascensions to the throne, however, were rather grim. Namely, the oldest son, Thorsamund, was killed by Theodoric II in 453, an act which Euric himself continued by killing his older brother in 466. He would go on to rule the unified Visigothic kingdom for 18 years. Euric's ambitions began roughly at the same time the Western Roman Empire was about to collapse. At the time of his reign, Toulouse was the capital of the Visigoths, but the Visigoths themselves were still disunited, with some factions following different chieftains. One by one, he would defeat them and take their land as his own. But his true military prowess showed when he had to deal with wars outside the realm. During the Battle of Daules in 469, he defeated Riothemus, the king of the Britons, and claimed a huge portion of his territory, which might have gone as far as the River Somme. 2 years later, in 471, where he killed, among several Roman officials, the emperor Ethemus's son, Athemolus. It was during this year that Euric issued the first ever Germanic code of law, the so-called Codex Euricanus. Rather popular with his people, and even a significant portion of the Iberian and Gallic Romans also saw him as a fit ruler. Ambitious as ever, Euric demanded in 475 the current Roman emperor, Julius Nepos, recognize Visigothic territorial supremacy and Euric as its independent ruler. While each Visigothic Greek that came before Euric only had nominally a Roman vassal, the vassalage was still valid. Euric made history in 475 by becoming the first independent Visigothic king and starting his own dynasty, that of the Balthi. In the same year, as well as in 476, he laid siege to the city of Clermont-Ferrand. Until his death in 484, Euric had ruled nearly all of the Iberian Peninsula. Aside from being a skilled fighter, he was also an incredibly learned man with a wealth of knowledge and wisdom. It's no wonder that many of the Romans living in Iberia willingly acknowledged his kingship, and why even priests saw him as a model king. Of course, on his death, he is replaced by Alaric II, and we will pick up there next time. The sources for this include The Germanic People, Their Origins, Expansion, and Culture by Owen. The Barbarian West, 400 to 1000 AD by Wallace Hadrill. History of the Barbarian Celts, Vandals, Sarmatians, Scythians, Goths, Huns, and Anglo-Saxons. And Attila and the Nomadic Hordes by Nicole and McBride. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.